Cool. Okay. If I'm going to be completely honest in church today, and I will be, because ain't nobody be lying in church, right? If I'm going to be completely honest, I really struggled with this message, and I wrote a whole message, and I really wasn't happy with it. I sent it to Pastor Richard, and then I reworked it on Thursday night after having a chat to my dear friend Curran, because I realized that I'm a trophy of God's grace. And this is a mini sermon about enduring through faith. And I want to share my story with you about how I have endured through faith. So my name is Sarah Lee Isabel Pearson, soon to be Sarah Lee Isabel Baller. Thank you. I'm engaged to a Fijian prince. Hari, and I've been attending Every Nation Auckland Central for 12 years. So I gave my life to God in this very room, April the 24th, 2005, and I am an incredibly proud Kiwi. Yeah, I'm a sixth generation Kiwi, so that is my heritage, so kia ora. Now, I know what you're thinking. Did she give her life when she was like 6 years old? Because I know you'd be thinking, like, are you like 21? You gave her life 12 years ago. I mean, I'm around that. So, yeah, I'm around, give or take, a few years. Cool. But getting back on track here, we're talking about enduring through faith. And our key scripture today is Romans 12:12. And it is to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. So I'm going to share three stories regarding each of these three ideas: to be joyful in hope, to be patient in affliction. Somebody's listening today, amen, front row. And the third is to be faithful in prayer. Cool, so let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are moving in and through us. I pray that you would do what you need to do with us today. Yeah, I just pray that you would shake us up and that you would really move in us today, and that we would not leave this place the same. We believe you, and we thank you that the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I know I told you guys I was around 21, but I'm not. I'm 31. I know. Whoa, sis. I've been reusing my wrinkle cream, so I know that'd be working. But I was single for the first 6 years of becoming a Christian. Having dated a lot before I was a Christian, I was really looking forward to dating some hot Christian guys after I gave my life. But the days turned into weeks, which turned into months, which turned into years, and I found myself still single after like over 6 years. And I found myself falling into the arms of a guy who treated me really terrible. So the first guy who asked me out was the first guy that I said yes to, because I just so desperately wanted to date. I mean, is that right to be honest? And I was desperate, okay? I mean, not that desperate. Sam, you sad. So I left that relationship. I was so caught up in wanting to date that I really didn't have such an incredibly high standard. So I left that relationship feeling really broken, really betrayed, wounded, and bitter. I actually began to despise men, and I felt like the biggest loser on earth that nobody wanted to love. I felt like I was too scarred to be loved, and I felt like a defect, like second best, and like someone so unworthy to be loved. I was in a really horrible, depressed place, and I was so incredibly alone and so hopeless. That was until one day I said, today is going to be a better day. I started to work on myself, and I spent time with God, because it was in that time of desperation and in that time of loneliness that I have never felt so lonely in my entire life. And I think it's interesting that sometimes when we feel like our lowest, we can feel like the loneliest, eh? Even though there's so many people around us, we can still feel so alone. And it was in this place that I was forced to rely on God, because I had no one and I literally had nothing else. So here I was, 27 years old, and I was single and I was so ready to mingle. But God said I got other plans. So yes, I still endured. I focused on God, and I really in that season learned to trust Him in a way that I'd never trusted God before, and I really developed my faith. That was until the scales fell from my eyes when I saw this Fijian prince singing godly melodies to my soul. Okay, so in God's timing, at 30 years old, I started dating. God has His best for you, and I can attest to that. It may not come in the package that you think it needs to come in, but God knows your needs. And He hears you, and He taught me that through the rough storm, when I tried to do it in my own strength, that I needed hope. I needed to hope again for what His word said. Hope is a feeling of expectation and a feeling of trust and a desire for something to happen. We all have things that we hope for. We all hope for different things in different seasons. But to hope, to hold on to your desires and your dreams, requires you to endure through seasons where it may look like God's given up on you, forgotten all about those hopes or those needs. But God is right there with you. His timing is perfect. God rejoices over you. He cares about you and all of your needs, and He provides for every single one of them. Let's choose to hold on joyfully to God and to hope in His promises, because He has never, ever let me down, and I know He will never, ever let you down. He's not a man that He would lie. So today let's choose to be joyful in hope. Okay, so the second part of the scripture is to be patient in affliction. So I was kicked out of home when I was 13. So this is pretty morbid, but my stepdad, he tried to kill me when I was 13. So I was thrown out. So this was a deep affliction for me, and it was a crippling pain that tore my heart to shreds. I moved to Auckland to live with my sister, who resided with numerous criminals and drug addicts. I was verbally assaulted by these men on a daily basis who lived in the house. I was constantly told that I was ugly, that I was useless, that I was worthless, that I was a waste of space, and that I should kill myself. And I came to realize that when you hear something so much, you really begin to believe that it's true. So at the age of 13, I fell into a deep depression, and I was in utter despair. I was so alone, and I used to cry in the closet, in the dark closet by myself. Because I was just in such turmoil. I believed all these horrible things that people had said about me, and I hated life and I hated myself. I hated having to endure another day carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. I got involved in drugs and alcohol to fill me and to make me feel something, anything just to feel okay or to feel alive. I went through my teenage years using drugs and alcohol to try and medicate my broken heart, until a heartbreak at 17 shattered my entire world. So at this point, I wanted to dig a hole. I literally wanted to dig a hole and get in it and to be have the soil thrown over me and just to disappear forever. I was so angry and so depressed. And I started thinking of different ways and how to kill myself. I didn't want to live anymore, and I felt like I couldn't go on feeling the way that I did every day. I was invited when I was 19, around this time, that I was going through all of this, God's perfect timing, by the way, a friend invited me to a church service, an Every Nation service, and I came along because there was hot guys. But I went along, and I heard a message, and I heard about a God who loved me, and He wanted to heal me, and He wanted to save me, and He wanted to restore me, and I decided to give my life to God. So I thought that would automatically change everything and make my life all roses and dainty and awesome, but it didn't. The deep hole in my heart was eased, but I felt like there was more coming up against me after making that decision. I was faced with more betrayals, more hardships and afflictions, and I had to learn to trust God to see all of this through. It was when I tore off the Band-Aid off those wounds that was when the hard work really started. I can say, though, today that my heart is whole and God gave me a brand new heart. God can give you a brand new heart as well. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow with his promises, as some count slowness, but he is patient with you." God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he can raise dry bones, if he can part the Red Sea, if he can heal the sick, if he can talk through a donkey, how will he not move in and through you today? He never changes. Our circumstances do, but he never does. Today, let's choose to hold on patiently in the afflictions that we're facing, choosing to trust that he is God and that he has it all under control. Because he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. Amen. So the third part of Romans 12:12 says to be faithful in prayer. In 2010, we're landing the plane here, guys. Hold on. You guys still awake? I don't see any nodding. I was teaching the other day at my university, and then I saw some nodding, so I was like, what was this? Okay, not in church, though. We don't fall asleep in church. Cool. So in 2010, I needed $10,000 because I needed to go to the Philippines, to Guam, to Australia, and to Samoa. I needed to go to Samoa for a university trip. I needed to go to the Philippines for World Conference. I needed to go to Guam for a missions trip, and I needed to go to Australia to visit my family, all in the same year. And I was a full-time student doing my master's degree, and I think I made like $16 an hour, so, and I lived on rice. So I literally had never had any money at all. So $10,000 was beyond what I could ever comprehend or ever save. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I fasted, and then I prayed and I read God's word and I declared it out of my mouth, and I believed God and I believed that his word was true. So my university came up to me and they said, "Hey, I want to pay for your trip to Samoa." So I was like, "Thank you, I will accept that." And then they said, "I want to pay for your accommodation to Samoa and your spending money." I was like, "Thank you, I will accept that too." And then they said, "Okay, hold up, I'd like to pay for your trip to the Philippines as well." So I was like, "Yes, Lord, thank you, I will accept that." And then, so that was Samoa and that was the Philippines covered. And then Guam. So I was really believing God, that God wanted me to be a part of this team for the missions trip. And so I really believed, and I said to God, "God, I really want someone to pay for this trip. If you really want me to go, I really want you to speak to someone for them to pay for my trip." So sure enough, sometimes it works. So sure enough, a day or two later, one of the guys from the team came up and he said, "God spoke to me and he wants me to pay for your trip to Guam." So I was like, "Thank you, I will accept that." So all up, in 2010, God gave me over $10,000. So I was believing that God would pay for all of this, and he did. So 2010 was a year of prayer and a year to fight in faith. I saw God pour out so much blessing on me, and I attributed all to being faithful in prayer. So there's been many times in my life when I had to hold on to every last bit of confidence in God, trusting that he had everything under control in order just to survive. God wants us to have the confidence in him to know where to know that he is on our side and that he is fighting for us. He wants to show up in your situation in such a powerful way today. Total confidence in Christ is knowing that he will complete the work that he began in you. Christ opens his arms to the broken, the weary, the hurting, and the burden. What are you facing today? Do you feel tired, like you're trying to stay afloat in the ocean, but you have a big boulder tied to your foot? Maybe it's a medical report that you're struggling to come to terms with, a broken relationship, a broken heart, financial concerns, or unending pressure. The list can go on and on and on. Whatever it may be, it is our total confidence in Christ that enables us to persevere. If there's ever a suitable time to face difficulties, I honestly don't think, I think we can profoundly say that there's never a time that is convenient for us to face difficulties, and they always come at the most inconvenient times, and they will come at the same time, like slapping us in the face. When we're down, then they kick us and kick us and kick us when we're down. But we all go through many seasons, and I've found that I've only ever really learned valuable lessons and grown exponentially in my faith when I was going through those hard times and I came out the other side. You know, we don't have to endure the good times. We fly through them and we wish that they never end. But we cannot grow in comfort. We simply cannot grow in the easy times. So can I ask us to close our eyes, and I want to ask for those who are facing some really difficult hardships, whether it be sickness, financial hardship, family problems maybe, relationship challenges, deaths, whatever it may be. Can you please look up at me? And I really want to encourage you. So this is a moment between you and God. No one else is looking around. I just want you to look up. God will not run out when trouble comes rushing in. God gives you everything you need to endure the season that you're in. Whatever you're facing, God has, and He will be with you to see you through this season. To pull you out of your circumstance, God has got you. Daniel 6:26-27, it says, "For He is the living God, and He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and He saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions, and I know He will rescue you. He will rescue you and He will lift you up. We need only to have complete confidence in Christ and in His power so that we may walk in trust, knowing that He is God and He has everything under control. To Him be all the glory." You know, I'm a testament to Luke 21:19. It says, "Stand firm and you will win life." I'm a trophy of God's grace, and I know that you're a trophy of God's grace too. I'm only alive because He rescued me, because He healed me, and I know that He can heal you. You know, there's a quote from Stormy O'Martin, and she said, "God is the only one who is not repelled by the depth and length of your need." There's only God can get to the root of your problem. Only God is the one who is not repelled by the depth and the length of your need. I've learned that man cannot give us what we need. Only God can.